It's wonderful to be with you again this morning, and thank you for the privilege of sharing with you. I would just let you know that at the back is a table of Bibles and children's Bibles. Might be just right for Christmas time, so do have a look at that if there's something there that's suitable for you. Now, I'm going to show you some photos of Redeemer Ministries. I'm very glad to be able to thank you for your support of this ministry, and it was particularly, you know, you've been with us right from the very start. We've been going for 4 years now, and this church has supported us even through that COVID period. And so thank you very much for your prayers and support. Now, just to bring you up to date with a few latest information, let's have the first photo, shall we? Now, look, to talk about Pakistan today, you cannot avoid the fact that it's going through persecution. Churches are being burnt down. This is just one photo of a church that it's been gutted by fire. And it's coming from the Islamic extremists. They're targeting Christian men in particular. And they're also burning Bibles. Now, that's rather interesting, isn't it? Because they realise that the Bible does have an effect on people and even on nations. Why do I think persecution is taking place at the moment? Well, I was in Pakistan last year, and I was really quite amazed at how the church had grown. House churches, churches using buildings just like this. You'd walk down the street and you would hear Christians singing, and houses where there were people having a service. And it was just obvious that the church had really grown during COVID. I think what has happened here with the Islamic extremists, they've realised this, and they've said, now look, we're going to let you know who is the boss here in Pakistan. And so they're now, you know, really burning down Christian homes, burning down Christian churches, and targeting Christian people individually. So thanks for that prayer this morning about persecution, because it's very, very strong in Pakistan. Now, the next one to show you, this is a photo that you're aware of and you're familiar with. Just to let you know that we've been going for 4 years, Redeemer Ministries, and we've now been able to redeem, get out of slavery, 314 families in that 4 years. All of their debt has been paid. They're now living in the community. The children are going to church and going to school. And the family has been pastored by the Christian elders and Christian people in the church in Pakistan. It's a very, very good program of pastoral care, of helping them, getting a job, looking after them. And I did some meetings over there, and I particularly remember doing an open air service on a Friday night. There were 300 people there. The men were on the right. The women and the children were on the left. And I was standing before them. It was a Christian service. And I was told that every one of these people in that service had come through being redeemed from the brick kilns. So that was quite thrilling to know that so many had become Christians. that represented about 70% of the people who had been redeemed. What happens to the other 30%? Well, as yet they haven't decided to become a Christian. But we're not pointing the gun at them. We're not forcing them to be believers, as has happened in the past. It's entirely a matter of free will, voluntary, and whether they want to respond to the gospel. But we're going to keep at it. Now, the other thing that's happening is we've got these medical vans. You see, there's no medical care in the brick kilns. None at all. No tablets, no penicillin, no injection, nothing. So we have these mobile medical vans that visit the brick kilns and help people in their medical care. Four vans, all paid for by donations here in Australia. And when I visited the medical camps that they were having, it was about 60 people in a tent, just one tent. And I visited four of those camps. And I was really surprised to hear, it was something I didn't know, people were saying to me, thank you very much for doing this. Thank you because there's nothing else that we have. There's no medical care apart from this medical van that comes around. I was really surprised to hear that because of that ministry, new churches had started in the brick kilns. And they would sit just on the ground, just like that over there. And they would have a very simple church service of singing, prayer, and message. A visiting Christian person would come and visit them each week to have a church service in the brick kilns. Now, I just absolutely loved to hear what was happening because of that ministry. The next photo to show you, this was a Sunday night service. It was a church, a small church of 10 people. All of a sudden, they're now a church, 10 people plus 60 women. And the reason why they're there is because we have this women's empowerment program that meets near this church. 50 women for 12 months come and learn how to sew, learn how to read and write, have a chapel service, all that kind of thing. And they're given the opportunity to hear the gospel. Of those 150 women, 60 have become Christians, and there they are right there on a Sunday night service. So it's really, really thrilling. Now, these women, when they were 9 or 10 years of age, many of them were kidnapped from their neighbourhood, snatched, taken away from their community, and forced into an Islamic marriage when they were 9 years old. They would have been in terrible shock. When they get into their 20s, they start to realise what has happened to them. And many of them escape, get away as far as they can. If they get caught by the husband, he'll beat her up. So it's a very, very serious business. The next one to show you is just the women learning how to sew. And then the next one. Once again, you know, a workshop. I've been helped, you know, to gain skills. And then the next one, this is like a graduation service. They've done the 12 months and now they've graduated and they've been given a certificate to say that they've done the course. And so that's a lovely time for them. And then the next one. Well, we also have chapel service, where they all come together, the 50 women, each week for a chapel service. And it's through these opportunities of telling them about the gospel. See, many of them were nominal Muslim people. They hear the gospel, and 60 have become Christians. And then the next one to show, this is the chapel service, of course, and the singing which they now do, singing the songs just like we've had here this morning, singing the songs of the Lord. And I think the next one might be the last one, where, see, they wanted to show me the things that they had sown. And they asked me to comment about the dresses that they had made, and the baby's clothes that they had made. And I found that very, very difficult, honestly, I really did. Because I don't know much about female dresses. But I did say how very nice it was what they did. That was the best that I could do. But it was a nice time, because they were very proud of what they had done, because they'd been denied this opportunity to have these basic skills in that bondage. That was a different sort of slavery. That was a slavery to a man, and they were the fourth wife of that Islamic man. So that's the ministry of Redeemer Ministries. Its primary purpose is to share the gospel with people, in this case who are slaves in the brick kilns, who are women caught in bondage, we have the children's schools, 52 children's schools, and we have the medical vans. So the Lord is blessing the ministry, the Lord is providing for the ministry, and we continue to move ahead with the Lord's help and the Lord's grace. Does anyone want to ask a question at all that you would like to bring up at all? You're more than welcome to do it. Any question at all you have about this ministry? Well, maybe after, if you'd like to ask something. Now, I've just got a little short devotion for you. It's about that big. And it's about four words in the Bible. And they're very precious words. They're very precious to Christians. Now, when you're having lunch, someone might say to you, well, what did you think of the message? Oh, well, he was all right, you might say. Did he use the Bible? Was that part? Yes, but he wasn't very deep. Now, I beg to differ, because these four words are profoundly deep. They're very precious. And the first word is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And it's a verse that you know very well, but it's a very, very special verse. And it has this precious word in it, which is something that you can remember through the whole of this week. And the verse says, as you can see, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And the word is care. And just think about this for a moment. What this verse is saying is, the Lord cares for you. For you. That's amazing, isn't it, really? Because we're living in a tumultuous world at the moment, where there's so many things happening. I know, for example, of people who do not watch the news anymore. They just cannot cope with it because it's too depressing and it's too overwhelming, and they feel as though when they see the news, they just feel as though they can't do anything about it. And it's so bad and it's so soul-destroying. I find Christians don't watch the news anymore, and I'm also finding that non-believers don't watch the news anymore. It's just too much for us. And in all of this tumult, we are aware that there's so many things that our Lord would have a lot to care about. Yet this verse is telling us the Lord cares for you. Now it's amazing, isn't it? Truly amazing. But remember that the Lord cares for you. Now the second verse that I'd like to share with you, and the second word, is in John chapter 15 and verse 16. And this is the very words of our Lord. And it says this. And this is Jesus saying this. He says, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." Can you get your head around that? I can't. It seems to me to be so incredible. The word here is the word chosen. Now, we could have a discussion today, and we can talk about what this word chosen means. And someone would get up and say, chosen means to be predestined. And we would agree with that. And then someone else would get up and say, it actually means free will. That's how we come. That is our pathway to becoming a Christian. And we'd agree with that. And someone else would say, now look, we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. Wow. Can you comprehend that? I can't. And yet, that is what the Bible says. Before the world even began, you were on God's mind. Because you were chosen. And then someone else would get up and say, look, when Jesus died on the cross, his death was for the sins of the world, but it was also for me. What incredible statements they all are, and they're all right. Absolutely amazing to think that we have been chosen. How do we understand what this means to be chosen? I have chosen you, said Jesus. You haven't chosen me. Well, next time you're reading the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 1, it does talk about that big word, predestination. It's all there in chapter 1. It's used a couple of times, actually. And it's quite correct that we can understand it as the Lord chose us before the foundation of the world. Quite correct. But in that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, it also says, you've got to believe. Now that's something worth kind of remembering, because instead of battling with this subject, which comes up from time to time, when we believe, then we know we are chosen. You've got to believe to fully understand what this verse means. Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." So how do I know I've been chosen? It's when you believe in Jesus. So far we've got care. Jesus cares for you. Jesus has chosen you. And the third one is in John chapter 15 and verse 20. And this is another great, I'm trying to communicate to you that this is profound. John 15 and verse 20. And Jesus again says, "I pray for those who will believe in me." He's been praying for his disciples. He does that in John chapter 17 too. Praying for them. But he's also saying, "I'm going to pray for those who believe who are not yet in that place of trust and following Christ. And I pray for those who do believe. I'm praying for them." And the suggestion and thought I want to leave with you is this: Jesus prays for you. Now that's amazing, isn't it? It's lovely, and I always find it interesting coming to this church to hear people praying in that session where children get involved as well, and praying for families and praying for all things to do with their life and their experience. That's what prayer is. And it's a lovely thing to know that the church is praying for us, that our families are praying for us, that our children are praying for us. That's very special in my view. Very special. But look at this. Did you realize that Jesus prays for you? That puts a whole different understanding, doesn't it, on the help of prayer. Jesus prays for you. And then the fourth word, this one's in John chapter 14 and verse 15. And again our Lord is saying to us, he says, "I no longer call you servants. I call you friends." Now with the disciples, they knew him as the Master. They knew him as the Lord, as we do. We call him our Saviour. And everything like that that we've said this morning is absolutely worthy of the Lord's name. It's right and proper and worthy to call him our Lord and our Saviour. But have a look at this. Jesus says, "I want you to know me also as your friend." See what I mean by this profound depth of these words? Jesus wants to be your friend. In all of that, Lord and Master and Saviour, he wants to be friends with you. And I'm reminded in closing, the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, they'd just experienced a dreadful weekend. They couldn't understand it. They were depressed about it. They were distressed. And they had many, many questions as they were walking along the road. And then this stranger to them at that time joined them. It was Jesus, as we know. And they began to get into a discussion with him. And he asked them about why they felt so upset. And he said to them all, why is it that you're feeling so strange about the circumstances that have taken place? And they were in a state of real bewilderment about all this. Don't you realise what has happened, they said. And then Jesus, as he's walking with them, tells them about Moses, tells them about the prophets, goes through the Old Testament, and comes up to that very time in which they lived. And he said to them, this is what is happening because it was all meant to be. What a Bible study that was. Then they invited Jesus into their home, and they broke the bread, and then it says their eyes were opened and they realized that it was the Lord. And then they thought about it, and they recalled the conversation, how that he was with them, how he talked with them, how he shared with them the experience that they were going through. And they said this, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way? Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants to share with you all that's happened to you, everything that's happened. And he wants to go over the circumstances with you and help you understand and give you that light and that revelation that what was meant to be and meant to happen. Jesus cares for you. Jesus has chosen you. The Lord prays for you. And Jesus wants to be your friend. Amen. Shall we pray? Loving, gracious God, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit who is with us day by day, Father, three in one, our Creator God. And Lord, we've tried to praise you this morning from our hearts. We've tried to tell you, Lord, our love for you and our gratitude for what you have done for us. Lord, please accept our prayers. Please answer our prayers according to your will. And Lord, please help us to appreciate and to understand that you know all about us. You know everything that we're going through right now. You know some of the questions that we have about life, about our family, about our work, about our church, about our health. All of these things are the things that we think about and we're concerned about. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to lay before you, as it were, that old rugged cross We've been able to place it all before you because you care. Because you have chosen us. And you are praying for us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to be our friend. Amen.